Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Hard day to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little bumpy. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 1st. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. Joining us in a moment for today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Handcuffed to a Lawman, will be Rose Winnick, President and CEO, and Kat Meredith, Vice President and COO of Wives Behind the Badge, a nonprofit organization. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press the number 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air to our guests. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so you know what that means. Anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happen, so if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything. All the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I'm Flora Brown, an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. The last 20 years I spent teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now invest in my upcoming book, Color Your Life Happy. A special pre-release price is available for you if you order before it comes off the presses at the end of June. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of those things that contribute to happiness. Well, let's get to the amazing show that we have for you today. Hi, Rose and Kat.
Hi, Flora.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Flora.
Before I begin our interview, I want to tell our listeners a bit about both of you. Is that okay?
That would be great.
Okay. I'll start with you, Rose. Rose has served as founder and president of Wives Behind the Badge since its inception in 2006. As the wife of a sergeant who works for a municipal police agency in Southern California, she found herself in need of advice that she felt she could only get from other police wives. Not able to find those appropriate resources available to her, she decided to form her own support system by starting an online support forum. That forum has now grown to over 200 members from across the nation, including members from England, Australia, and Canada. Wives Behind the Badge also reaches out to a network of over 3,000 friends from MySpace, Facebook, and other forums. Over the years, Rose has received many requests from police families and police officers seeking assistance with resources and financial help during disaster and medical crises, as well as law enforcement agencies requesting support due to budgetary cuts. In November 2006, she enlisted Kat Meredith, a member of the support forum, to help her with forming Wives Behind the Badge into a nonprofit organization for the sole purpose of raising money to help police families and law enforcement agencies. Kat has over 20 or more years working in the nonprofit field. Prior to forming Wives Behind the Badge, Rose worked as a senior funder for Primus Financial Services, overseeing their funding department, and as a senior payment processing analyst for Hyundai Motor Finance Company. So she was certainly well qualified when she started this organization. Now I'm going to tell you a bit about Kat. Kat Meredith serves as Vice President and COO of Wives Behind the Badge, and she's been affiliated with the organization since shortly after its inception in 2006. Her priority is to create a solid strategic plan for development that supports the organization's fundraising efforts, as well as works together with the president and CEO with management of the organization. With over 20 years of nonprofit administration and fundraising experience, Kat has had the opportunity to work with such organizations as USC Doheny Eye Institute, California Hospital Medical Center, California State University, and most recently, United Way of Greater Los Angeles. She has worked in positions which focused on board management, business development, special events, prospect research and management, major gifts and donor relations, annual funds, as well as corporate and foundation relations. In her spare time, if she has any, she's an active volunteer with the Los Angeles Zoo, and she serves as a member of Las Amigas, a fundraising support group of Torrance Memorial Medical Center Foundation. Kat lives in Southern California and enjoys spending time with her fiancé, a law enforcement officer of 26 years, and her daughter, a full-time college student. Welcome, Rose and Kat. I'm so delighted to have both of you here.
Thank you, Flora. We're delighted to be here.
Great.
Thank you very much, Flora.
You're most welcome. And this organization intrigues me because no matter what field you're in, you need support. And you can get it best from the people who are in the field with you. So I applaud both of you for starting this organization to help not only the law enforcement agencies and the wives, but it also helps the community as well. So let's get started with tell me a little bit about Wives Behind the Badge and the mission. Who wants to start? Rose?
I will start.
Okay.
Wives Behind the Badge is a group of police wives, and we wanted to make a difference in other police wives' lives as well as the lives of other law enforcement agencies and their families. We are a nonprofit charitable organization, as you had mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and we provide emotional support and resources to the law enforcement community, their families, and which directly impacts the community as a whole. And
mm-hmm.
we like to serve in a positive manner as a voice for law enforcement.
Okay. Did you want to add something to that, Kat?
Well, as far as Rose mentioned, our main goal is to support police families as a whole. But as she mentioned, it's very important to provide that positive perspective for law enforcement officers because, as we all know, there's enough negative out there. So we really felt that it was important for us to counterbalance that because we see the other side closely. And so that was important for us to take an active role in providing positive support and reinforcement of our law enforcement officers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine there's so much that people who are not in the field or in your position just don't even realize that goes on behind the scenes is the unknown stress and challenges. So I guess I get that why you started this organization in the first place. Rose, you want to talk about why you started it, because I mentioned that you did start a support forum so that wives could talk to each other and share. Why did you start the organization itself?
Well, we started Wives Behind the Badge. I started it 3 years ago. I was in actual desperate need of help personally. Not to sugarcoat anything, my marriage was on the rocks. The issues that we faced, most of our friends and family didn't understand. At the time, the resources were very limited to the kind of help that I needed because my friends and family didn't understand, and quite frankly, neither did I at the time. When I would go to them with my problems or our problems, they only reinforced what I thought was my only option, which was divorce. Because nobody knew. Every time I would go and complain about his hours or whatever I was complaining about, nobody understood. So one of my friends, who was actually an attorney, recommended that I seek legal advice from someone who specialized in law enforcement divorces. Mm-hmm. I got on the internet and started searching, and I stumbled upon a group of police wives where I instantly felt at home and totally understood. Mm. Unfortunately, when that site abruptly shut down, and once again I felt I was left alone and without support, thankfully I was in contact with several of the members of the site, and a couple of them, along with the help of a couple of them and a lot of prodding from the others, Wives Behind the Badge was born. It helped me so much and literally saved my marriage. We just celebrated our 13th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're doing better than ever. And I can say that we've had many people come to us in the last 3 years thanking us because they were at the same spot that I was and mm-hmm. not knowing where to turn, not knowing what to do. And when they realized that they were not alone, that there were reasons why things happened in the law enforcement family, that they had someone who understood them, that divorce was no longer an option.
Mm-hmm.
So we have... I can safely say we have saved many marriages with
that
our support forms.
That's a wonderful thing to be able to say.
We're very proud of that.
Yes, and as you should be, because I would, like I said earlier, I would imagine many groups could benefit from having a support group like yours, especially where the man is in a stressful, or one spouse is in a stressful job, and the other spouse is also experiencing their own share of stress. Other people don't understand it if they're not having the same experience. What population do you serve? Obviously, you serve wives of policemen and other lawmen, but are there other people that you serve in your organization?
The wives, girlfriends, and fiancés, obviously. We also reach out to the officers and their agencies as well. We try to provide support at every level of the law enforcement community, and in addition to the communities themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We serve as a voice for the law enforcement community, hoping to bring a positive image and message to the communities about our police officers. As Kat had mentioned, oftentimes our police are not viewed positively by the media and the communities that they serve. So we want to try to help and change the negative way that some people view our law enforcement and show that they are, in fact, everyday heroes. So we try to reach out to everybody that we can. Focusing on the communities is a big thing for us, trying to get the kids involved, showing the kids that, hey, they are heroes. They're great guys.
Mm-hmm. How do they find out about your group when a person becomes a lawman? Do you reach out to their spouse, their family immediately? Do you have some kind of outreach program, or how do they find out about your organization?
We started reaching out to the police academies, actually. We'll go to the academies and speak to the classes. We actually will be speaking to the families of the classes coming up in October, which
mm-hmm.
we feel would better get the word out to the families. Those are the ones that we're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
The guys in the academy obviously are hyper-focused on graduating, and that's all that
sure.
they really are concerned about. So we are taking it to the next level to try to reach out. We've also have spoken to numerous Lions Club groups, which have been very receptive to our organization. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had our scholarship program this year, so we owe them big props for that. So we do. We're trying to reach out to the communities, trying to get our local schools involved with Shop with a Cop. So we're out there marketing ourselves, going to meetings, you know, we joined the chamber, so we're marketing all over the place.
Wow. That's great. I hadn't thought about the academy. That's a great idea to reach them right away.
Mm-hmm.
I have someone that's on the chat, web chat, that has a compliment. This is Beck, and says, "You both are amazing people, and I want to thank you for making Wives Behind the Badge." The question they have is, what is the most difficult aspect of running a nonprofit organization?
Well, this is Kathy. I can answer that, and I say it with a laugh, because being in a nonprofit organization is difficult enough as it is, with lots of challenges, and we have a lot of organizations competing for funds. But right now, the biggest challenge that we have is because of our economy. We started this nonprofit right before the economy situation started, and so that has been our biggest challenge, is to actually raise money, believe it or not. Getting it started, starting the legal process, all of that was simple because of my background, and we were able to do that. It was a long process, but it was simple. I had the tools. But our biggest challenge right now is that we're all volunteer group. Nobody gets paid for what we're doing, and we work full-time working this program. And we have an enormous amount of great volunteers that are helping us to do this, and without them, we could not do that. But finances right now is the biggest thing, trying to raise the money and competing against other nonprofits who are just as worthy for that money. And so that's been the biggest challenge for us.
Well, okay. I would imagine most groups would say that is the challenge right now. But the good thing is eventually we're going to come out of this, and hopefully you'll be able to attract the funding that you need to continue to offer your services. That gets me to the question about the issues. What are the common issues? You've touched on some of them, Rose. What are some of the common issues that police wives face?
Well, according to a lot of the threads in our forums, I could say that it's the hours, the unreliable schedule, oftentimes feeling like a single parent. We miss holidays or school functions, not us but our spouses,
mm-hmm.
Due to court overtime or being held over because of a late arrest.
Mm-hmm.
There's all constantly things, wrenches being thrown into our schedules. Of course, the fears and the concerns of the job, which never go away but do somewhat subside after you've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I personally no longer dwell on what might happen. I trust in his training and his experience, but this can take years to get to the point if you don't have a solid support system.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the hours and the unreliable schedule, I think to some extent we're all a little lonely.
Mm-hmm.
We might have our family behind us. We might have our friends, a great group of friends. But at the end of the day, the only people who truly understand what we face on a day-to-day basis is the wife or significant other of a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with the kids, when I said that you might feel like a single parent, I know that there have been many times we've had scheduled parent-teacher conferences on his days off, nonetheless, only to have him called into court and I have to go alone.
Mm.
And or there was a time where there was a gang shooting and he had to go because he was on call.
Certainly.
I remember we were – one of the worst times for me is I remember when my husband was a detective in the CAP unit, which is a crime
was
against –
Was it what?
A detective in the CAP unit, which is crimes against persons. It was his day off, and we were at the funeral of a Rialto police officer killed in the line of duty. And just as we were about to walk into the church, his cell phone started vibrating, and he had to step aside to answer it, and we had to leave right then and there because there was a possible homicide. So I don't care how long you've been in a law enforcement relationship, things like that you'll just never get used to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that we all, and we all talk about it. It's like, oh, I remember when something like that happened to me, and it's very common, the things
mm-hmm.
that we face together. And to some people, it might not be an issue, but again, when you have the friends and family and you have to call or show up at events by yourself, and they look at you like, why are you here? And they just don't understand that
mm-hmm.
his job mm-hmm. takes him away from a lot of things like this.
Right, right. Because
for me, being that I'm not married yet and just the fiancé of a police officer, I sought the group because I didn't know if I wanted to enter into a police relationship, being that I knew.
Yes.
And both my fiance and I come from, this is a second marriage, will be a second marriage for both of us. And my husband's, my future husband's first marriage of 19 years broke up because of a lot of the issues of being a police family and police wife for her. So I already knew this going in, and I didn't know if I wanted to subject myself to this. So, you know, we all face the same things, even as a fiancé or a girlfriend or a wife. We also experience the same thing. And without that support system, they say that divorce rate across the nation is 50% for the average relationship, and for police officers, it's 75%.
Oh my.
And that was, yeah, that's just something that we wanted to prevent, if we could, do whatever we could to decrease that number.
Wow. Now, is there an organization at the national level other than your organization that is working on the same mission? I just thought about that.
Not that we are aware of. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of organizations that focus on officers and the families when they're killed in the line of duty, which is very, very much needed. But when it, so the support forums actually were started for the police wives, but that's why we became a nonprofit, was because we saw there was a need for the officers that were here. There was a lot of services.
Yes, yes.
So I don't know of any other organizations that, I mean, there are other support forums, but none that I am aware that are nonprofit in what we're doing. We're kind of, we like to think we're thinking outside of the box.
That's wonderful. So that gets me to why you became a nonprofit as opposed to just having the support forum. What are the advantages of being a nonprofit organization?
Well, in our support forums, the reason why we started, or what prompted us to start it, was we had a member who had asked a question and asked if anyone knew where to get a bulletproof vest that didn't cost them too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that she just wanted an extra one, but apparently her husband's department didn't have the funds to provide them. And he was actually sharing a vest with other guys. So when he would come in from the shift or go into his shift, the guys from the other shift would hand them the vest or pull out the plates. They were sharing vests is what it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And exactly. We were floored to think that this was happening in our own country. My husband works here in the state of California as this cat's fiancé. We are very lucky because our husbands are probably some of the best trained and equipped officers in the U.S. And to think that there were men and women out there doing the same job as our officers and not having the proper training or protection to do their jobs was very disturbing.
Yes.
And the thought to become nonprofit was always in the back of my mind, but I had no idea how to go about it until Kat called me one day. I don't even think I let her finish her pitch to me before I jumped on the opportunity to help. These men and women are protecting our communities, and they aren't even protected themselves. It's just not right. Like I said, there were many organizations out there to help families of our fallen officers, and that's something that is very much needed, but it's hard to find organizations that are there to help the men and women who are out there every day doing this, you know, dangerous job.
Right.
And we not only want to support our police wives, but support their husbands and significant others. We felt that if we give them some peace of mind, that there are people out there that care about them and their families, it will take a little bit off of their concerns and stresses away, not only to the officers, so the officers can do their jobs, but also to their spouses. So
right.
They are assured that their husbands are at least equipped to do their job.
Well, that makes sense. That's awful that to think of having a job, especially a high risk job, and not having all the equipment that you need to work with.
That's exactly.
Awful. What are some of the programs you offer through your organization?
We have our online support forum. We have an amazing support system in our forums. These women are incredible, and I'm so proud to be a part of their lives. We have a range of women from various degrees of knowledge, from the rookie wife to the seasoned police wife. We have a scholarship program that we offer to the dependent children of active or retired law enforcement officers, as well as the officers killed in line of duty.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to announce our first recipient in the next week or two. We're excited about that.
Wow.
It was actually a great response. We honestly thought if we received 100 applications, it was a success. And after the first 2 weeks, we had over 50 applications, and we knew it was going to be a success by then. But by the end of the deadline, when it rolled around on May 1st, we had received over 330 applications. And they still kept coming in even after the deadline.
Is this a college scholarship?
Yes. We are offering a university and as well as a community college.
Okay.
We also have a condolence card program, which has been around since our inception. It's HALOS, which is helping aid lost officers, survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime an officer is killed in the line of duty, we send out a card to the families. In 2007, we started to include canines in our condolence card. They are police officers. They are the partners.
Mm-hmm.
And their job is just as dangerous. And we have a new program that we're working on. It's an adoption agency. Back to the fact that our husbands are California officers, and we are very lucky to have the equipment and the training here in California, that we thought the adopt an agency, where we would have a larger agency adopt a smaller agency maybe in another state and help them with equipment. Our husbands have these closets, and it's kind of funny because they're filled with vests, duty belts, all kinds of equipment, because when officers are hired, they have a year probation. They may not make the probation. You get people who retire, and their equipment goes into this closet, and it just sits there. And then you have the agencies that are out there, and these guys are having to buy their own equipment. The departments can't fund them, so why not take those? It's almost brand new. These guys, especially if they were a trainee and hadn't made the year, so it's less than a year old, and they're not going to give that to an incoming officer. So we are organizing this program, and we've had a really big response. We have a lot of agencies here in California that are just waiting for us to launch it so they can help out, and which is very exciting.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's got to be such a joy for both the receiving agency and for you to know that the equipment is going to good use.
Absolutely. We think it's very important. And then our newest program is our Kids for Canine, which is actually very special. We have a 10-year-old boy in Florida. His name is Shane Miller, and he heard about a canine that was killed in the line of duty. And he went to his mom and said he wanted to do a lemonade stand, and he wants to help raise money for this department to buy a new canine. And he came to us with this magnificent idea, and we just figured, and then we had the response from the girls on the forums, well, my kid will do it, my daughter will do it, my son will do it.
Oh, wow.
We decided to make a program out of it, and we know that it's going to be a huge success.
Wow. Now, what's that program called?
It is called Kids for Canine.
Oh, Kids
for Canines.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
Well, what about someone who's not in the law enforcement community? Why would they be interested in Wives Behind the Badge?
I'm going to let Kat answer this question.
Okay.
I've been doing all the talking.
Okay.
The main reason that we feel that, as far as reaching out to people that are outside of our law enforcement family, is important for us because, as I had mentioned before, we already hear a lot negative about police officers. My fiance always says, well, we're the ones that are giving the tickets. And we always make a joke that the firemen are the heroes and the policemen are not. A lot of people think that way because they're the ones that are giving out the tickets and costing people money. They don't often think about that they're actually there, sometimes the first person on the scene. If there is even a fire, it's usually the police officer. And so we understand that. We live with that. We just decided that we needed to go out into the community and really provide a positive picture of really what police officers do. So everything that we do on top of providing support to police officers and their families, we also want to provide support to the community. So we have some active programs that we're going to be working on in the next year and two that actually provide financial support to community members. Children within our immediate area that need help with school supplies, we're going to be starting a program for that. And also just reaching out and providing goodwill so that they understand that there is a human face behind those police officers. They have lives, they have families. and just to do whatever we can to reach out and help the community as well, whether it's providing help to the homeless, providing help, like we said, to the kids that need help with school supplies. There are a lot of great programs out there where we have an opportunity to bring the police officers in and have them working with kids directly. So we're going to do what we can to provide that type of program for the community.
That's great. I just got a question from Beck on the chat asking, how can people help out Wives Behind the Badge? How can we help your organization?
Rose, you can answer that one.
They can help out. There's several ways. On our website, there's a tab on how you can help.
Okay.
We will always accept donations, of course.
Okay.
The monetary donations, we do have a wish list where we need help with web design, we need help with printing. There's a lot of things that, as a nonprofit organization, the funds, like Kat had talked about earlier, that we just have a hard time coming up with. So when we want to get the word out with our brochures, we could use printing. There's all kinds of things. With our canine program, we really need help getting the lemonade stands or the lemonade, the cups, plates, you name it, whatever we need for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many ways that we could that we use help. And like I said, go to our website, and there's a whole wish list.
Now tell the listeners your website.
It is wivesbehindthebadge.org.
.org. Okay, wivesbehindthebadge.org.
Yes.
And people can go there and learn about how to give monetary donations or donate their services.
Absolutely.
So that's fantastic. What are some of the ways that you are fundraising on behalf of your organization in addition to the things that people can do online? Do you have some fundraising efforts going? You talked about the canine program. What else are you doing?
Well, we're actively filing different sorry, I lost my train of thought there. We're actively doing contract writing, grant writing, different things like that. That's what I'm working on right now. There's a lot of grants available for these type of organizations, but as I had mentioned before, there's a lot of competition right now. So that's what we're doing. We're going to be doing some really spectacular events in the next coming year that will be working with the community and also with police officer agencies directly to raise funds for our program. We have everything set up on our website to make it easy for people to donate online, whether it's through a for a specific program. We have actively got involved in Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. Twitter has been an amazing resource for us. We have tons of friends on there that have reached out to us and have offered to support us, and we're looking forward to doing a fundraiser through Twitter in the near future. So there's a lot of resources out there for us. In the years before when I was doing helping with fundraising and working on projects, we had to do it very grassroots. And
yes.
That are out there now are amazing and make it easy for you. So we're looking forward to using some of these tools and utilizing some of these opportunities and the friends that we have. We have a tremendous support network of friends, not only members, but like I said, through Facebook and through Twitter. So we use that as an opportunity not only to get the word out, but also just to seek help through volunteers, through fundraising, through resources, everything that we do.
That's wonderful. Are there some ways that listeners can help out other than what you've already named, the donations? They can help by offering specific services. Are there any other ways listeners can help?
Well, some of the police-wise, this is something that we would really appreciate help with, is that we have a lot of police-wise out there that we considered seasoned. Rose had mentioned that already. And many of those wives don't feel the need to be in a support form. They don't feel that they need that. Many of them have been married for years and have gone through everything and have already dealt with it, and they may not feel that they need support from the forums. But we need their expertise. We need their help on the forums because we have a lot of rookie wives that need advice from them, and they would best know how to help them. And that's the base of what we started, was to provide support. And so I'm reaching out to a lot of our police wives. We know there's a lot of police wives out there on Facebook that are not part of our forums, and many of them because they just don't feel that they need the support, and they may not, and that's okay. But they could provide, they have an amazing wealth of information and could provide some really good help to us in regards to that.
Wow. And I imagine, too, that listeners can be sure that their friends who have are going into law enforcement know about you. Because as you were talking, I thought about I have a nephew who's about to go into law enforcement, and he's married. So his wife could certainly use the support, even though she may not know it at this point. But it sounds like an organization she needs to know about right away.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of our, we call them rookie police wives that join. That's exactly what they're there for, and we've helped out a lot. They have a lot of questions. They're not sure what the academy holds for them, and they think the academy is tough, but I think really that the first year of police work is really tough because they're going to see their husbands going through a lot of changes, and they're going to have a lot of questions. And we have a lot of wives on there that have been there. They've been through it. They have a lot of great advice, and they can really help ease their mind with a lot of questions that they will have. And it also takes away the pressure of them questioning and constantly, I hate to use the word, the term nagging, but when their husbands come home, you know, and want and have all these questions, when they need time to wind down and they need time to, you know, regroup. And so they can, the wives can come to us with their questions. So when their husbands walk in the door, they can have their wife instead of somebody in their ear constantly.
There are things that the average person outside of a police family would not realize, the things that we see and go through. A lot of these rookie wives just don't realize it. I even remember the first time when my fiancé was leaving for work one time, and we were fine watching TV. Everything was great. We were joking. And then about an hour before he was to leave, he got into a whole different serious mode. And I took it personally and thought I had said something to make him upset. And I never realized that this was a common thing until I got on the forums and started talking about it. But they go into what is called a police mode, where they start to separate themselves from the environment of their home, and they get into their work environment, and they take on a whole many of them take on a whole different personality. And
imagine
that going into this relationship. So I internalized it and took it personally. And as we started talking to other women, you could see them, even when we go out to the academies and we talk. The members in the academy, even the future spouses of these wives and future officers, they shake their hands saying, yeah, that's exactly what's going on in my relationship. That's what I'm doing, and she doesn't understand it. And so there's things that go in our lives. We have one of our board members, Yvonne Davis, is our blog correspondent. Just recently I wrote an article, The Strange Habits of the Police Family. And it's funny, but it's realistic in the sense that we have habits that nobody else will ever experience and understand in our families.
That's got to be amazing to experience. And like you say, no one else can really know or understand it. That's why your organization is so extremely important. And just as you were giving the example of your fiancé going into this mode about an hour before leaving for work, I imagine returning from work is somewhat similar in that, as you were saying earlier, Rose, you can't nag them and attack them with the problems that you're having, because they've got to wind down and get into husband mode and physically tired, mentally tired, exhausted, stressed. So there's a lot that it's going to do to your relationship even once they're home.
Yes. If you don't understand the cop mode, and it took me that so many years, 9 or 10 years of our marriage, to finally understand it. And it could have saved me a lot of aggravation and heartache knowing that there was a process. And he didn't understand it himself. He just he was living his life, and he just didn't understand what my problem was. So, you know, there's that common ground, and we both understand each other, because he knows what's going on the forums. He'll ask, how are the girls? You know, it helps him as well. So it's not, even though he doesn't log on and he doesn't sit down physically and talk to the girls just by me saying, oh, my gosh, she had that same problem, and you do that same exact thing. So now he understands where I'm coming from. Mm. And we've had husbands send us emails and write us letters thanking us for, you know, helping them out and having a place where their spouse can come to and understand their lifestyle.
Do you offer any kinds of workshops for wives so that you can do like an orientation for them on what they can expect, or do you just handle their questions on the forum as they come up?
Well, right now it's primarily the forums. We are in the process of starting or organizing workshops. We're actually working with my husband's department in a kind of like a police wives or a spousal academy. It was something while we were meeting with the chief that it's something that they have been wanting to do, but they didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So when we were talking to them about things that were in our future, the things that we wanted to provide for people, that's when they brought us on board. And now we're working with that department to have something like a workshop within the department to invite the spouses, the girlfriends, family members, and do something there. So eventually, and we would like to expand it, of course.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking that would be a great way to educate some of the things they're going to experience before or as they're coming up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are hesitant to ask questions about whatever is troubling them because for whatever reason, a lot of us think that whatever problem we're having, that we're the only one. And
exactly.
That's never the case in this situation. Exactly. So having the workshop tremendous. That would be wonderful. Are there what resources are you using to get the word out? You mentioned already Facebook and Twitter. What other kinds of things are you doing to get the word out about your organization?
Well, the best value for us and that the best word of mouth is our members and our key volunteers. We have an amazing group of board members and auxiliary members and coordinators and volunteer staff, again, we're all volunteer, that have taken this relationship with us so seriously and have just forged through and said that they're going to do whatever they can to help support us. And they're reaching out in their own communities. We have wives that represent almost every state in the nation, and they're out there with our brochures, going out, speaking to the police departments, reaching out to other wives, doing what they can to raise money for us. And without them, we wouldn't exist. So I'm going to take that opportunity, if I can, Flora, to thank them, because I know many of them are listening right now. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do that. But that's our key ability. And word of mouth has been what has gotten us to the point where we're at now. And we're always amazed when we go out and we say our name, the organization we're with, and people we don't even know will come up to us and say, oh, I know your organization. And that's because people are reaching out and telling other people. And that has been the saving grace for us, has really helped us move along quicker than we thought we would.
That's fantastic. What kinds of things? I know you mentioned earlier about your budget problems, which we're all experiencing in the nation. How has this impacted spouses and law enforcement in general? You mentioned one of the things you were doing in this organization was pairing up with a smaller agency that was had a less than ample budget to share some things. What other kinds of ways has the budget affected you?
Well, I'm sure that everyone has heard in the news that due to what's going on with the budget, we hear daily about police departments that are cutting their staff, and not only their non-sworn staff, but their police officers. And we know that this has to impact the community as a whole, and that concerns us because in many communities, public safety is the largest budget, and most often, whenever there's a budget problem, that's the first budget that they go after because it is the largest.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns us because not only does it affect our husbands and it affects our families and their financial welfare, but it has to be affecting the community, and we know that. we have read articles and our husbands have told us that crime seems to be increasing in certain areas. People are getting more brave to do daytime robberies in homes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we know that the budget, you know, economic situation is affecting people to do these things. And
sure.
without having police officers out there, first of all, because they're being cut back and they're being laid off, that concerns us. And we know that that has directly impacted police officers.
I was thinking as you were talking about the fact that people don't realize that budget problems have an effect on increased crime, and at the same time, cutting programs ties your hands from fighting the crime and responding as fast and so forth. So that's a real dilemma to have the budget, you know, impact us all that way. Have programs that are set up in the community been of any help to law enforcement during the budget cuts? I was thinking of Neighborhood Watch and other kinds of programs. Have those been helpful? Do you have any sense of what impact they have on the law enforcement in general?
I don't have any. I know that we just recently started a Neighborhood Watch here in our neighborhood. I don't know what impact that has had here. I don't know if Kat knows of anything more.
Well, I'm actually looking at my fiance right now, and I didn't know, but I asked him just right now, has theirs increased? And he says there has been an increase with the neighborhood that he works in. The Neighborhood Watch has been increased, and they've been more alert, and they've been more active in getting involved. Sometimes I think those programs go a little stale at times, and people don't get as, when times are good, they don't get as involved.
Right.
And he said that, yes, it's been very active and increased membership, so which is good. It's good that the neighbors are getting involved in that, and it does help provide support to the police officers.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, when things are good, we get complacent and relaxed, and then we have to have something happen for us to get vigilant again.
Right. For me, I've been on ride-alongs with my fiancé, and like Rose has mentioned before, we know that they're well-trained. We know that they have the skills. He's been a police officer for 26 years, so he knows what he's doing, but I worry more about the people that are coming into the community that don't live in the community he serves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why with the times that are going on right now, it concerns me, and I worry a little bit more now than I did maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that people are getting more desperate and people are carrying more guns because they're fearful. So the more that they become afraid, the more guns are out there, and that becomes a concern for me. So as far as the impact, I think it's a full circle, and it does concern me, and I worry a little bit more for my fiancé.
So when you say people come into the neighborhood, you mean strangers who don't live in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
To use the neighborhood as a source of criminal activity that perhaps in the past they would have not been as brave.
Exactly.
Here where we live, there was a whole slew of car burglaries, business burglaries, and it was going on for about 6 to 10 months. And when they finally caught the person, it was happening at a certain time in the morning every week or whatever, how often it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And once they did catch him, it was somebody who lived in Los Angeles. They didn't you know, coming in here to our city. I think what happened is that he worked in the area.
Okay.
And we also have people who are in construction that worked in the Irvine area that was coming. They were coming into our city here and going through apartment buildings in the parking lots and breaking into cars, stealing laptops and purses and whatever people were leaving behind. But it has been really very active when it comes to burglaries and stuff recently.
Wow.
The other interesting thing that I just read the other day, too, Flora, is that, and I think my fiancé would agree with this, many of our police officers work on task force, DUI task force, and are very active. And I read an article the other day that said that because of the times, people are more depressed, and believe it or not, they're drinking more. So DUI has been up this year as well. And so, they don't know exactly how that's going to play out for the entire year, but I know that my fiancé has said that it's a lot more active than he's seen it for a long time. So, and they contribute to the fact that people are a little bit more down in the dumps, they're drinking more. So, the economic times is affecting everybody, obviously. But as far as law enforcement, that's how we personally see it within our own homes and how it's impacted.
Wow. Yeah, they have to do more with less. So they have less money, less resources, equipment not being replaced, promotions are being delayed due to budget cuts in the cities. There's a lot of things that are, the cities are cost saving, and public safety, like Kat had said, is the first place that they go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in some cases, people are retiring that aren't being replaced and leaving
mm-hmm.
vacancies and extra work for other officers,
which
will impact the families as well as the communities.
Right, right. What are this isn't one of the questions I had planned to ask, but what are some of the good things about being a police wife that you can share with the audience?
Well, for me, it gives me a good opportunity to have great stories to tell. That I always have wonderful stories to tell people, and one of the, as I mentioned, Yvonne Davis, our blog correspondent, she triggered some really fun things for us to think about, because my fiance has a tremendous habit of driving in the left-hand lane of anywhere we go,
mm-hmm.
and missing off-ramps and causing arguments while we're driving, and so that we always have great stories, and I always say that. It's tough being a police wife, but it's also fun. I mean, we live a life that no other wives experience.
For me, it's actually the positive is it's made me more independent. It's made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I just my friendships. I have an abundance of friends. I consider every single one of these police wives dear friends of mine, and it's just. I wouldn't choose any other lifestyle. It was hard at the beginning, but now that I understand it and now I know what to expect for the most part, it's nothing like I could ever, I wouldn't want anything else.
Well, you mentioned friends. Is it harder to have friends who are outside of your circle who are not police wives or involved in law enforcement? I would imagine having friends who are within that circle, it's easier because they understand the pressures you're under. But
yeah.
People outside
is.
Of that circle.
Yeah,
it is.
Go ahead, Kat.
I'm sorry. It is. I think that we are drawn to like-minded people. Most of our friends are either police-related or in the fire, our firemen, fire family, and because we all understand and that deep camaraderie that you have with each other, that family-like in relationship that you have with each other, and that brotherhood, sisterhood. It's not something that you can ever get with another relationship outside of that. And they don't understand. They don't understand a lot of times that, like Rose said, my fiancé has always worked the early morning shift from 7 to 7 a.m. in the morning. And when I was working outside of the home, we could go 3 to 4 days without seeing each other. Because by the time I got home, he is on his way to work, and it still has been that way the whole time. And so many times I have to go to events without him and things without him, and people will always ask, oh, where's Dave, and things like that. So it's a relationship that when you are with people that are like-minded, they understand. They don't have to question that. They know. It's a given.
I have a pretty good balance of both law enforcement friends as well as non-law enforcement. My non-law enforcement friends have been friends of mine for 20-plus years, and
mm-hmm.
while they don't understand and I don't talk shop with them, I've learned that because the last time I talked shop with them, it almost led me to divorce court. So because they don't understand our lifestyle, and it's a nice break, too, because, you don't always – and it's not like us police wives, that's all we ever talk about. It's not it
sure.
at all. It's just
sure.
that, I do have my group of friends outside of law enforcement, and it is refreshing to get out there because I can let my hair down and I can be Rose and not be a police wife.
Right. Okay. I can see that. I can see that having that break can be helpful because sometimes when you're within the same circle, you do end up talking shop
exactly.
a lot. Yeah.
And the other thing I'd like to add, Flora, is that it's not every day that you can say that you are in a relationship with an American hero. So for me, that is an amazing thing to be able to know that, you know, my fiancé, and I'm sure Rose feels the same way, that they contribute to really good things in our community and helping people. And I think that's an amazing, and I'm proud of that.
I'm so happy you said that, because they are indeed heroes, and I don't think we say it enough, and we don't tell them enough, and we don't celebrate it enough. It's very, very true. And I'm so glad I learned about this organization and that both of you were willing to come online and share with the general public what you're doing. I'm going to remind people to visit your website at wivesbehindthebadge.org, where they can make donations, they can offer their services, get involved with the canine program, and a variety of other things I would imagine that they could do to help. Do you have any closing words as we wind down the show?
Well, I'd just like to thank you, and I'd like to thank everybody. On a personal level, we'd like to keep Sarah, one of our members, in our thoughts and prayers. She's in the hospital right now. One of the bonuses of having our support system is we have women all over the country, and we do have several police wives who will be driving anywhere from 3 to 5 hours to go visit her because she is really sick right now.
Wow,
so we want
wonderful.
To keep Sarah in our thoughts and prayers, and thank everybody for your support.
Thank you. Kat, did you want to have a last word?
I just want to reach out and thank our board of directors, our auxiliary members across the country, our staff members. We have a full staff of members, volunteer members, who help us run our forums. Without them, Rose and I would never be able to do our job of creating this nonprofit and running it. So we are grateful. And if anyone else wants to reach out and volunteer and help us, please let us know. Contact us through our website, and we'll see what we can do to get you involved.
Thank you. That is so great. As we near the end of today's show, I urge all of you listeners who have been enlightened, encouraged, or empowered by today's episode to share what you've learned with your family and colleagues. Encourage them to go over to wivesbehindthebadge.org to learn more about the program, but more importantly, to donate and offer services. Remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my website, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return at any time to hear it. I want to thank again my guests, Rose Winnick and Kat Meredith, and you, my listeners, for tuning in. This show marks the end of this season. I'm going to invite you to join me again at the start of our new season on Monday, June 22nd at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. At that time, my guest will be Dr. Jennifer Manlow. Her topic will be Color Your Life Happy, Making the Second Half of Life the Best Half. I also want to remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and order my book at the special pre-release price before it rolls off the presses this month. Once again, thank you so much, Rose and Kat, for coming on and sharing so much about what you've been doing. Your organization is doing a fantastic job, and we feel very blessed to have you supporting us in this way, because your supporting law enforcement is also supporting us. So thank you so very much. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Remember to come back and join us at the start of our new season, Monday, June 22nd at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our topic will be making the second half of life the best half. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.